This is Dr. Chad Edwards, and you are listening to podcast 24 of Against the Grain. Are you tired and fatigued? Are you frustrated with doctors because they just don't seem to listen? Do you want to fix your pain without surgery? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we are the clinic for you. We offer prolotherapy, PRP or platelet-rich plasma therapy, and stem cell injections, IV nutritional therapies, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and functional medicine to get you back on track to optimal health. Call our clinic at 918-935-3636 or visit our website at www.revolutionhealth.org to schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Against the Grain podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards, where he challenges the status quo when it comes to medicine. We get into hot topics in the medical field with real stories from real patients to help you on your way to a healthy lifestyle. Get ready, because we're about to go against the grain.
Hope everybody's having a great day. I'm Brian Wilkes. Today I'm joined by the Dr. Chad Edwards, who believes that 80% of medical recommendations are crap. Technically speaking, he is the author of Revolutionize Your Health with Customized Supplements, and he served in the U.S. Army for 23 years as both an enlisted soldier and as an officer and as a physician. He graduated from medical school at Oklahoma State University. He is the founder of RevolutionHealth.org and this very podcast, Against the Grain podcast. How are you doing today, Dr. Chad Edwards?
I am doing amazing.
That's great. We've had a good time today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, it's Easter's coming. This is actually Good Friday.
It is.
I'm headed to an Easter egg hunt in a little while.
I mean, I would consider almost every Friday Good Friday, but this is like the Good Friday.
Yeah, that's how you doctors roll. They say, you know, as they say, doctors and bankers, every day's a Good Friday. Every day's Friday for you guys, right?
No.
Is it easy being a doctor?
Because sometimes you're like, man, I'm on call this weekend.
Really?
Ugh.
I feel like the shows, like the doctor shows on TV, have really messed up the whole profession of being a doctor, because it seems like you guys just drive really nice cars and, like, you know, go to islands, and every now and then you come in and your hair's perfect and everything's going right in your life. That's not the real life of a doctor.
Well, not when you own your own clinic.
Yeah.
I will tell you, there are certain specialties that will go nameless, that it is ridiculous how much money they make. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I know you want to remain nameless, but I've always heard spine surgeons make an insane amount of money. I assume they do, because that's, I mean, I, what do I know? But, like, if you hit the wrong part of the spine, I think that's bad. There's only a few people that would be bad. That can do that, right? I mean, they're pretty talented guys, right? What's the highest paid doctor? Let me ask you that. What's the categorically the highest paid doctor?
You're talking about by profession. By specialty. Orthopedics is way up there.
Yeah.
Anesthesia is way up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Anesthesia.
Neurosurgery is probably way up there. I'm not the expert on this, so don't quote me on any of that. So I'm going by just from the hip.
What's interesting about you is you're really not a money guy at the end of the day. I've known you for a long time, and there's nothing in your DNA. I've never heard you talk about medicine and, like, money in the same sentence almost. It's like you got into this for a whole nother reason.
Well, this is a total side note, but I think it's worth saying. I had a patient that came to me the other day that went to another testosterone clinic in town, and they wanted him to sign a 3-month contract that for a total of just under $1,000.
Right.
And they hadn't even checked a lab. They didn't know, you know, he was complaining about these things. These are not my words.
Mm-hmm.
He was frustrated that, in fact, he told me, he's like, they didn't even check my lab. How do you know that I have low testosterone and you want me to sign a 3-month contract for almost $1,000? And so he was very concerned. You know, in our clinic, we charge for the office visit. Mm-hmm. If you don't have insurance, then, you know, you're going to have to pay cash for labs.
Mm-hmm.
But the way we do our labs, and they're marked up a little bit just to cover our time, our resources, you know, the nurses and those kinds of things. So we're not losing money by paying staff to be able to do those things. But, you know, there's another lab in Tulsa that's charging $38 for a complete blood count.
Mm-hmm.
And in our clinic, I don't remember exactly how much it is. It's well less than $10. I mean, it's like $7 or $7.50, $8, something like that.
Wow.
And they're charging like $35. They're almost $30 more for the same lab. Just one lab.
We are on a tangent, aren't we?
Yeah. But the thing is this guy, I mean, like, it's just, they were charging so much money for something that, you know, we're going to charge less than a third of that.
Something that should be a really a loss leader to get to the real problems.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we charge what we think is appropriate.
Right.
I mean, we got to be able to turn the lights on. We charge what we think is appropriate.
Right.
But, you know, I'm committed to what we do and the way we do it
long-term
and the
health.
Prices that we charge.
Yeah.
And we're going to do everything we can to not have to raise those prices in the future. So
there's a reason you have revolution in your name.
That's
right?
Exactly right. We want to revolutionize healthcare.
Speaking of another buzzword, you got revolution and you got Hashimoto. It's a buzzword, right?
You like that word.
Hashimoto. That's our topic today. It's cool.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about karate. Right? Is that what that means?
No.
Oh, okay. I was a kung fu.
No, it was named after a Japanese guy.
It's a disease?
It is.
Interesting. It's categorically Hashimoto is a disease.
Hashimoto's.
Hashimoto's disease.
Yep.
Explain what it is. This is our topic today.
Yeah. So basically Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease where your body makes antibodies. So in the last podcast, we were talking about an autoimmune disease of type 1 diabetes and what antibodies we look at. So going with that theme, we're going to go with another autoimmune disease, and we're talking about Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So an
Did
autoimmune,
I say it wrong? Hashimoto.
No, well, I mean, you put a little different emphasis on it than
like
I
a,
do.
Like a Tulsa
but
twang.
You'd have to
Hashimoto.
Ask a, you'd have to ask a,
yeah.
a Japanese person
because yeah.
they're the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really want to know.
We Yeah, yeah, I got it. That's okay.
In Oklahoma, we would say Hashimoto's.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's pretty good.
Autoimmune destruction of the thyroid gland.
Right.
Over time, it destroys your thyroid gland, could result in not having a thyroid gland because your immune system just attacked it and killed it.
Right.
Over time. So antibodies associated with that stuff. And so often these patients will, you know, be tired and fatigued and all these kinds of things. And they'll come into the clinic and we'll check their labs, see the antibodies, see their thyroid levels, and we can treat that. And there's a number of different things that we can do.
Is it mainly, you know, there's, again, I think we talked about this before, but when it comes to the thyroid, is it maybe mainly female base that has Hashimoto's?
Almost, in my experience, almost always.
Interesting.
Almost always. And I actually wonder if there is an association between the use of oral contraceptives, oral birth control pills, and autoimmune disease.
Mm. Because there's such an abundance, and there should be no other reason, right?
Well, I mean, you could speculate about a lot of other different reasons, but I wonder, you know, we see so many issues with oral contraceptives that I didn't see when I was in my mainstream medical practice because they weren't diagnosable. I couldn't pick it up on my standard labs. I didn't know how to read my labs, but there's still some issues.
Is there any research to that effect, or is that a gut?
Not that I'm aware of. That's okay. A gut. That's a gut thing. And when, you know, if you listen to some of the other podcasts in the past, we've talked about girls or ladies that have come in with different hormone things implanted, and we took those out and they felt amazing and it kind of resolved their issues. But it's just one of those things. I just wonder, is there an association between the use
logical.
Of synthetic hormones, so not bioidentical hormones, but synthetic hormones and autoimmune disease?
Seems logical. Perfect.
I don't know, but it's interesting. Maybe you can design a test and we'll come up with it.
An analytical test.
Yeah.
I'll get right on that.
And then we will be about money.
Yeah.
And we'll
Profits.
Go, Hank, we'll be doing this podcast in Grand Cayman.
Yeah, oh yeah. And getting paid for it. Because right now, that ain't happening.
Thanks
Which
for
is
pointing
fun,
that out, Ryan.
But we like to hang out, right?
Yeah, we do. It's good.
We like to hang out. Like to talk to people. Assume someone's listening, right?
Can we waste more time not
Absolutely.
Talking about the topic?
Absolutely.
Today.
We can try. It's a goal. It's a goal. So let's get back. Let's actually go back to it though, and talk to me about again. So you've already kind of discussed what symptomatically like low energy, these kind of things. You know, you talked about low thyroid on the last podcast. What makes specifically this particular type of autoimmune disease different, and what are there underlying? Or is it asymptomatic, or are there additional symptoms to this?
Well, I would argue that it depends on the spectrum. So, or where we're picking this up, where we're identifying it. So we do thyroid screening on many of our patients,
right.
And your thyroid function may be completely normal. So your TSH, or thyroid stimulating hormone, may look normal or even optimal. T4, T3, both important to look at. Both of those could be, maybe they're not optimal, maybe they are.
Again, explain what T3 and T4 So, because I think you're one of the only people that talk about, you know, pervasively treating that.
Sure. So and we've done a whole podcast on thyroid in the past. So you can go back and look, listen to that for more information. But basically, those are the thyroid hormones. They're secreted from the thyroid gland. Mm-hmm. They go to the cells and cause their.
They're the root cause.
Well, they are the hormones that actually have the effect on the cells so that you feel like your thyroid is working.
Gotcha. When you come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Hashimoto's. I want you to talk a little bit more about, because all I know is it's still Kung Fu, okay? So when we come back from break, let's talk a little bit more about it, okay?
Cool. Vertical Limit Fitness constantly strives for better. Better mind, function, fitness, capacity, and community. They accomplish this through bodyweight boot camp style classes and high-intensity functional fitness classes. From group classes to private training, Vertical Limit Fitness elevates your health and wellness while helping you become able to do anything and prepare you for everything that life may bring along. Call 918-409-1633 or visit their website at www.verticallimitfitness.com for more information and to sign up for a week of classes.
And we're back with Dr. Chad Edwards, and we're talking about Kung Fu, Hashimoto's.
So, not Kung Fu. Autoimmune disease.
Okay. Yeah.
and thyroid. So, you know, again, many of our patients will come in, they'll have some, I feel bad, I feel fatigued. They may have been diagnosed with Hashimoto's in the past. And some of them, in fact, I had one today that she asked, or you know, we talked about her thyroid antibodies.
Right.
And she's already on thyroid replacement. So she's on either Synthroid or Naturethroid. I don't remember for her.
Right.
If we had already transitioned her over or not. But so we've got this autoimmune disease. It's destroying the thyroid gland, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But you're on thyroid hormone replacement. So we're giving you thyroid hormones. And you see these elevated antibody levels. And some patients will ask, what do I do about that? I mean, mm-hmm. Do we need to do anything about that? What do I do? And it gets into, and we'll be talking about this in future podcasts. I think the next podcast, we'll talk a little bit about it specifically, but definitely much more in the future about how we would address autoimmune disease from a functional medicine perspective. So with these antibodies, it's like, do I care about the antibodies or not? And I would argue that there's two reasons that you should care. The first one is that it is an antibody that it's the immune system attacking your thyroid gland and destroying it. So if that process happens aggressively enough, long enough, it will completely destroy your thyroid gland.
Seems important to know.
It's, you know, and do you care that your thyroid gland is completely destroyed?
It's a good question. What does it do for you, right? Kind of thing.
Well, it's, we can talk about thyroid function, you know, much more in another podcast. But I would argue that you care to try and keep you off of thyroid replacement or to lower the dose of thyroid replacement that you would need. So that's one reason that you care about those antibodies, because we don't want to destroy the thyroid gland. It can do a better job of regulating it than we can by thyroid replacement.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason that I care about these antibody levels are because if you have an autoimmune disease, your immune system is a little bit over-responsive. There's probably some gut dysfunction. Your physiology is not normal. So it's not that I care about the antibody itself. It's like that I care about the underlying reason that antibody is elevated. So we want to work on that underlying condition. Hopefully those antibodies decline. In fact, the patient that I saw today, her antibodies initially were like in the 1500s, which is fairly elevated. And now she's in the 400s. And so we've cut them down
to a third
of what they were before. So, and she's actually feeling a little bit better. We had to change her thyroid medicine around to get her feeling optimal. And we'll see how she does in the next couple of weeks. But most of these patients will feel very, very well with optimal thyroid management. You can look at listen to our podcast in the past. It's one of the early ones where we were talking about how to manage the thyroid. But it's this autoimmune.
That's a good
component.
Podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
People should go to revolutionhealth.org to listen to it.
AgainstTheGrainPodcast.org. .com, sorry. AgainstTheGrainPodcast.com or on iTunes.
God, we're the worst.
I know.
We really are. Keep going, though. Yeah.
RevolutionHealth.org for the clinical-related stuff, and then the podcast is on another site. Anyway, but you can find the link of the podcast on the regular site.
Gotcha.
Can we confuse people more?
No.
Okay, good.
I think we got it.
So it's the autoimmune destruction of the thyroid gland, and that's what we want to focus on.
Right.
And there's a couple of antibodies that we check, antithyroglobulin, antithyroid peroxidase. just two anti-TPO, two big words for antibodies that are killing your thyroid gland. And we want to be able to turn that stuff off or manage that. We don't want to leave them where your antibodies are just through the roof. We want to be able to manage that. So those are some of the things that we do in Revolution. We follow those antibodies, and we want to be able to turn off that autoimmune destruction. And there are several things that we can do. There's medications that we can use. Mm-hmm. There are supplements that we can use. Sometimes giving a little bit of iodine can turn that off, and that'll have to be another podcast where we talk about
the mechanism of that. Are there any dietary things that people can do that have this disease?
Absolutely. And that's a very nuanced question. Sometimes mm-hmm. things like some of your green leafies and some of the things like broccoli can be what we call goitrogenic. Mm-hmm. Again, a topic of another podcast.
So what is that? Broccoli's a good, in short though, broccoli's a good thing to eat if you have Hashimoto?
Well, it can work against you. So again,
it gets confusing.
It does.
And customized.
That's, and
right?
that's why I recommend, you know, a functional medicine clinic
right.
that will evaluate this. Do you need to worry about what you're eating? You know, those kinds of things. So, mm-hmm. You know, checking those antibodies, following them, developing a full comprehensive lifestyle management, nutritional right. program. The big thing.
Exercising?
Exercise is always important.
Always good, yeah.
I don't know how that relates directly to the thyroid gland. The mm-hmm. big thing, and we'll talk more about this. It'll be the top specific topic of a future podcast, but gut health and gut function is a huge one. And there are a lot of supplements that we can use. There's nutritional approaches, lots of things that we can do for that. And we often see those antibody levels decrease. And when we see that, we'll often see the thyroid function improve.
A lot of chatter around gut health these days, huh?
Oh, it's a huge, huge component with a lot of implications in obesity, diabetes, you know, all kinds of gut problems, irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
That is a gut health problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that we can do for that. In fact, one of the medicines that's come out recently is, or that they're advertising recently mm-hmm. is Xifaxan. It's an antibiotic that doesn't get absorbed into the body. So how is an antibiotic helping irritable bowel?
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably because it's killing off bad bacteria, allowing you to stabilize or normalize the microbiota in your gut. So mm-hmm. a lot of interesting stuff.
I'm always curious. Do you even watch TV or do you have any hobbies or just read books all day long? I'm just curious.
I have tons of hobbies. I don't get to do them as much as I would like.
How do you know all this information outside of a lot of this is unconventional medicine, right? I mean, this right. is you taking it upon yourself. I was hearing you talk earlier going to something in Dallas where you're learning more about the skin. And I mean, you seem like the kind of guy, and you will always have since college, that you're always learning.
Well, you know, my approach to understanding and knowledge and those kinds of things is when you can memorize things like through right. algorithms.
Right.
And we've alluded to this in past episodes of the podcast.
You can be scientific or you can be artful, right?
You can certainly be artful. You can be scientific, but you can memorize things through an algorithm.
Right.
If this, then do this.
Right.
And I remember being motivated by that in the past, and I wanted to know all those algorithms. But, you know, one of my mentors taught me to break that mold, mm-hmm. understand the algorithm, and then do it differently. It's okay to do it differently, but you have to know why you're doing it differently.
Fundamentally.
So the algorithm is for those that don't really understand why.
Well, it's interesting. The whole word algorithmic is the true definition of algorithmic is by definition a way to solve a problem. It doesn't
right.
have to be
the way right.
to solve a problem. I always think of like if, you know, we always think of algorithms with a baseline of computers, right?
Right.
The problem with that is computers are dumb machines. They're right. very good at looping.
Sometimes they're really dumb.
They're really dumb. They're, you know, like I always give you the analogy of if you give a computer a peanut butter jar and bread and jelly, and you tell the computer, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And that's, you know, the limited information. It'll stab the bread bag. It'll stab the side of the, you know, the peanut butter because if you have to be so literal with a computer
right.
that it becomes almost inefficient.
Right.
And you compare that to a human being. I tell Marshall over there, and I have, and he rolls his eyes at me, to get me a peanut butter jelly sandwich, right? You think we'd have some customer service over here, but we don't. Okay, that's fine. I'm not mad about it. But my point is that he puts together a really beautiful peanut butter and jelly sandwich based on deductive reasoning and just kind of awareness and general perception, right?
Right.
That is much more fluid. So you really have to be careful, I think, to, as you said, I agree with you, to be so algorithmic that you take a natural flow out of something or a specific example, and you're so literal that it's defeating. Right.
Well, and then consider the diversity, the biodiversity. I mean, every single patient is so completely different.
Exactly.
Based on their stress levels, their nutritional levels, their genetics. Genetic factors and epigenetic factors make different people so completely individual. There's no way
absolutely
to have one approach to all of their problems.
Yep. Okay.
You got to keep an open mind.
We're way over time. Marshall's like dying over there. It was a great conversation today. We'll pick up next time.
Sounds awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast with Dr. Chad Edwards. Tune in next week where we'll be going against the grain.